Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. And we dedicate our learning this month, Le'ili Nishmas, Dr. Agus of Blessed Memory. And we are up to Daf Tezayin here in Masechet Shkalim. Today's Daf is Daf Tezayin. Let's start again on Tezvav and Mubeis at the two dots, the last set of two dots. Tani Mishum Rabo Shaya is taught in the Brice and Imre Bo Shaya. That when there was that blemish, Kohen discovered the tile in the Lishkas Dir Ha'etzim that was misplaced. And he realized, oh, you know, they must have removed the tile and put it back, didn't put it back exactly right. That's where the Holy Aron is. So Rabbi Shaya taught Hikishaleh Bekurnis. He started to hit the tile with a hammer. Yatzas Eish, a fire came out. The sarfaso and burn the hammer. Tani Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lai taught that Ben Lakish Amar, that Rish Lakish said, Shtei Aronos Hayu Mahalchin Im Yisrael Bamidbar. There were two arks of the covenant. There were two arks, two boxes, gold, with kruvim on top, with a kapores that accompanied the Jews in the desert. One had the luchos with the second set of Ten Commandments, the full luchos in it. The second had the broken pieces of the first luchos. I saw that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein said, we have a rule, ein kategor nasa sanegor. That which reminds God of sin is not going to also work to remind God of merit. So why would we be carrying around the luchos that are broken? Doesn't that remind God of sin? The Jewish people sinned with the golden calf. We had to, Moshe Rabbeinu had to break the luchos. So he said, the Gemara tells us that a Torah scholar who forgot his learning, you have to treat him with great respect. Because the broken luchos are also in the Aron. What does that mean? So he suggested maybe when a Torah scholar forgets his learning, he's so broken that he forgot his learning. And when you see how broken he is that he forgot his learning, that's so inspiring. Treat him with tremendous respect. So the Jewish people had broken luchos, and that was a source of, oh my gosh, committed sins, nebuch, they were brokenhearted. It couldn't be a greater merit. That's the big merit of the Jewish people, that we're brokenhearted over our sins. So we go out to war, it's not ein kategor nasa sanegor, it is a sanegor nasa sanegor. It's an advocate being an advocate. Hashem, look at how broken we are over the fact that we have sins. That's my nation. They're fighting these wicked people who are proud of their sins. I'm going to help them. So two aronos. One aron in which there were the fuluchos. And then there was a second one. The aron with the fuluchos was in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Hato d'chtiv, as the pasuk says, Aron bris Hashem Moshe lo Moshe mikar v'machane. And the Aron, the second Aron that had the broken tablets in them, it would lead the Jews in the desert, it would lead them out, it would lead them back. Both of them were in the Midbar. One was in the Mishkan, and one was leading them in their travels. And this one that would lead them in their travels, it would appear with them. When would it appear with them? Whenever they went to war, when they would go out to war, they would take out the Aron. So when they went out to war against Plishtim, when they have Vayavo Knani Melech Arad, the king of Arad, the Knani comes and he fights with them in Parshas, where is it, Shlach or so, maybe a little bit later, here in Bamidbar. We have the different wars. When Pinchas goes out to war against the Midianites to avenge the fact that they sent their women to entice the Jewish men, there was an Aron that went out with the Jews to war. Which Aron? The Aron with the complete luchos? No, the Aron with the broken luchos. That's this idea of Rabbi Zilberstein. Because the broken luchos was an advocate of merit. Because it means that the Jews are brokenhearted over our sins. So that would go out for us to war, and we would win in the wars. Shuvah. So that's the view of Rish Lakish. However, Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, Aron Echad Haya. There was only one ark. And it was always in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So when Pinchas went to war, there was no ark with him. And when we fought Amalek, there was no ark. In fact, the ark never would go out to war. achas yatza. It was one time when the Aron HaKodesh went out to war. Bimei Eli. That was during the days of Eli Kohen Gadol, when little young Shmuel is in the Mishkan. He's been brought to the Mishkan to grow up there, because his mother promised that if she'd have a child, she would make that child a Nazir Olam, a Nazir dedicated to Hashem. So young Shmuel is in the Mishkan, and Shmuel has the scary prophecy that the Mishkan's going to be destroyed, that Eli's sons, Hophni and Pinchas, are going to be killed because of corruption within the Mishkan. And in fact, that's what happens. Now, the Jews were scared of the Plishtim. So they were very scared. They said, well, we need an extra help. We're going to go out to war with the Aron. That was the only time that the Aron actually went out to war. And that time it was actually captured. When it was actually captured by the Plishtim. Karya Misayelu L'Rabbanan. So there's a pasuk like the Rabbanan, that the Aron was usually not going out to war. It only went out to war once. One time, the final battle for Shiloh. Because the pasuk says that when the Plishtim saw the Aron with the Jews coming out to attack them, they said, Aylanu, woe to us! Who's going to save us from these mighty gods? So, must have been new. The Lochamim in Yomai. Must have been something that they had never seen in their days. If every war the Jews have the Aron with them, so what's the big surprise? If with Goliath there was an Aron, if with Yonatan there was the Aron, all the different wars, but it must be, it's an unusual thing. The Aron normally stays in. There's a pasuk supporting Rabbi Yudah Rabbi Eloy in the name of Rish Lakish. As the pasuk says, not in the days of Shiloh, later. Vayomer Shaul Achia, Shaul says up to Achia, again when he's fighting Plishtim. Hagish Aron Elokim, present forward the Ark of God. Lalo, Aron B'Kiryas Yarim Haya. Now, the days of Shaul, the Ark was in the town Kiryas Yarim. So what's going on? Apparently there was a second Aron. There was an Aron with the broken tablets, and that was going out to war. So Ma'a Avdulei Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan going to do with this Pasuk? They hold that the Aron never would go out to war. Only went out to war once in the days of Eli. So then why does Shaul say present the Ark of God? So they'll say that this box didn't hold the Luchos or Shivrei Luchos. The Luchos and Shivrei Luchos, according to the Rabbanan, were all in one Aron, and that Aron was in Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the days of Shaul, it was in Kiryas Yearim. This box that Shaul's talking about was a box that had Bigdei Kohuna in it. It's a box that had garments of the Kohen Gadol. And Agisha Le'atzitz, it's as if it says, give me the box with the tzitz. Give me the box that has the garments of the Kohen Gadol. All right, Karya Messiah Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Eloy and Rish Lakish. There's a pasuk that supports Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Eloy, who's quoting Rish Lakish, who holds that there was always a second ark that would go out to them for war. Because we know that when David HaMelech does the sin with Bathsheba, so then he finds out that Bathsheba is married to Uriah. So he says, where's Uriah? Uriah's at war. He calls him back. And he says to Uriah, go sleep with Bathsheba. Because he wants Uriah to cover up what he did, what David did with Bathsheba. So when Uriah refuses, David confronts him. Why did you not do what I told you to do? So Uriah says, Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshim v'sukos. The Aaron and Judea and Israel are sitting in Sukkos. V'Adoni Yoav, and my master Yoav. And the servants of my master are camping out in the field. They're in war. I'm going to go into my house. I'm going to go to my wife. I'm going to have marital relations. How could I do that? So he said that the Aron was in Sukkos. Why? Because there was a war. So you see that there was always an Aron that would go along to them to war. Now, hello, Aron B'tzion Haya. The Aron, we know, that day, by that point of David HaMelech, was already in Yerushalayim. What does he mean when he says Ha'aron and the people are in Sukkos? He means that the Aron, there was a second Aron, the Aron of war, the Aron of the broken Luchos, and that was out with them at war. The Aron with the full Luchos was in Tzion. What are the Rabbanan who disagree going to do with this Pasuk? So they'll tell you, no, The Aaron, there's only one Aaron. The Aaron doesn't go to war. This Aaron was in Zion, that's right. But we know when the Aaron was in Zion, it wasn't in a building because there was no Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech wasn't allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem told him, you can't do it. Shlomo's going to build it. So, Schach Shu Kikirui, Adayin Lo Nivna Beis HaBchirin, Shadayin Lo Nivna Beis HaBchirin. What he's saying is, how could I be with my wife? Number one, all my friends and Yoav are at war. Number two, even the Aron is as if it's in a sukkah. It's just in a tent. It's just in a little covering. It's not in a proper building. I'm going to be with my wife because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't yet built. But not that the Aron itself was at the war, at the battle. The Aron was not at the battle. Because according to the view of the Chachamim, there's only one Aron. Everything is in that one Aron. And it only went out to war once. All right, let's now learn about the Aron. Yishenignaz Aron, when the Aron was put away, we know in the end of the first temple, the Aron was hidden by King Yoshiyahu, as we learned yesterday. Nignazimo Tzintzenas Haman, the container of Man from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu was also put away. Utzluch Hashem and Amishcha, and the container with the anointing oil was put away. Maklo Shel Aron, and the staff of Aron, it had its prach of Ushkedev, it had all of its flowers and almonds. Vargaz, and the box. Sheshivu Plishtim Asham Elokei Yisrael. The Plishtim returned a tribute to the God of Israel. When the Plishtim sent the Aron back, they sent all sorts of statues also with it. So that box was all hidden away underneath Temple Mount. So, I've been in these Kotel Tunnel tours, and there are guides who said that there's a certain spot there with big, big wall of concrete. They said this spot leads underneath the Temple Mount. Once there was some archaeologist who tried to go there. Arabs heard him and they started to riot. So the Israeli government put all this concrete here. But we want to go there. We want to go look. There are tunnels underneath the Temple Mount, and there in those tunnels you have all these treasures. You have the Aron, you have the Man, you have the tributes of the Plishtim. It's there. It's hidden there. It's all there. Bezrat Hashem, someday we'll get to these things. These things will be revealed to us. Bezrat Hashem. Okay. So now, Mignazo, who put the Aron there? Yoshio Gnazo, King Yoshio, one of the last of the kings of Judea, the last really fully righteous king of Judea, before Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Why did he do it? Since he saw that the verse says, "Yolei Hashem Oscha Vesmalcha Shetakim Alecha," the pasuk says in the Tochacha, the rebuke, God's going to lead you and your king to a nation that you and your fathers didn't know. So he said, "One second, that means we're all going to go into exile soon." Amenu Gnazo, he went and he hid the Aron. That's what the pasuk says. Vayomer Yoshio LeLevim. Yoshio tells the Levim, "Hamivinim Ulochal Yisrael Akdoshim." Lashem, Tnu es Aron Hakodesh v'bayis asher bana Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael. Ein lechem masa v'katev. He tells them, put the Aron in the building, in the structure that Shlomo built, namely in all these tunnels underneath the Temple Mount. Amalem, because he said to them, Imgo lehu imachem lebavel, if the Aron's going to go into exile with you to Babel, ein atem machzirin oso odlum komi, you're never going to be able to bring it back. Because the Babylonians are going to want to keep the treasure. The same way the British have all sorts of treasures in the British Museum. And in Europe, there are all sorts of treasures from the Middle East, from Greece and other places, from Rome, that have been plundered and kept in these museums. So the same is going to be with the Aron. They'll never let it out. So therefore, we can't let the Aron leave. Ella, therefore, rather, Ata Ivdu Es Hashem Elokeichem Es Am Yisrael, serve God by hiding the Aron in the structures that Shlomo HaMelech built onto the Temple Mount for such an eventuality, for the Aron to eventually be hid there. All right, so we mentioned the Aron. We mentioned that with the Aron also the Tzlochis, the container of the anointing oil, is also hidden. So now we learn about this topic of the anointing oil, beginning of Parshas Kisisa. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, make a special oil with all sorts of spices. They're going to give taste to the olive oil, and with that anointing oil, you consecrate the holy vessels and you make holy the Kohanim Gedolim and the kings. So, Pitum Shem and Amishcha, how would they compound? How would they make the anointing oil? Pasuk says, Vatakach Chab Samim Rosh, Mor Dror, Chamish Meos, Kimon Bosem Machziso, Chamish Mosaim, Kne Bosem, Chamish Mosaim, and Kido Chamish Meos. So the total is 1,500 manim. You have 1,500 maneh of spices. The bosem was 500. Mordror was 500. Kimon bosem was 250. Knei bosem was another 250. And kida was 500. So 1,500 maneh of spices. Yeah. The oil would have the taste of these plants. Yeah, question. By putting away the aron. Interesting, right? It's a strange thing. I guess you're serving the cause of the Jewish nation, because it'll be embarrassing to the Jewish nation if our holy aron is taken by the Babylonians. So, if everybody could just press mute, Mrs. Igis, if you could just mute yourself, that would be wonderful. Okay, so we are here learning about the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. The Pasuk says... Where did they have it in the desert? Where did they have it in the desert? Maybe they bought it from Gentile traders. Like other materials. Right, and maybe they brought it with them from Egypt. They had traditions of what they would need to do. So maybe they brought it with them from Egypt. All right, then it says, Shemen Zayas Hin. In other words, olive oil was Shnei Masar Lug, 12 Lug. Shabo Shulkin Asoykar. They would boil up these plants of these spices, of these ingredients, in the oil, according to Rabbi Meir. The Yudam Rita says, no. You have a lot of these plants, and you try to boil them in the oil. All the oil is going to be in the plants. Rather, shulkin hayu b'mayim. First, they would boil up these plants in water. Then, v'nos and shemen al gabim. Then they'd pour the oil in. And once the oil absorbs the smell of these plants, hayamavir, you would take the oil out of the water. The way the perfume makers do it.
This is the anointing oil.
Correct. No, the anointing oil. That's what the pasuk says about it. So shemen mishchas kodesh, and you're going to make an anointing holy oil. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eloi, taught a brisa. Shemen mishchas shazam Moshe b'midbar, the anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu did made in the desert. Ma'asa nisim na'asabo mitchilav ad sofo, and miracles from the beginning to the end. Why? It's only 12 lug of oil. Right? Even just to smear it on just these spices, this 1,500 maneh worth of spices, there's not enough oil for that. Certainly, when you heat it up, the heat takes away some of it, of the oil. Well, it's in bowl, and yes, when you mix it in with all these plants, the plants absorb some of it. Vayora balas, and the pot should absorb some of it. And nevertheless, the mishkan and all of its utensils were anointed with this oil. The shulchan v'chal kelev, the table of the showbread and all of its utensils were anointed with the oil. Hamenor v'chal kelev, the menorah and all of its utensils were anointed with the oil. And for the 7 days of Miluim, the 7 days of inauguration, Aaron and his sons are being anointed with this oil. And Kohanim Gedolim and kings are later anointed with this oil. So, and yet, there's enough. So it must be. There was a miracle. It just stayed fresh. It stayed in its full amount. All right, now we're going to learn some more laws about the anointing oil. Melech Betchila, when a king is starting a dynasty, he's not inheriting the rule. So a Mashiach, he needs to be anointed with the anointing oil. A Melech ben Melech, but a king whose father was a king, he's just inheriting it from his father. Ain't Tov Mashiach, he doesn't need to be anointed. My time, where do we learn this from? From David HaMelech, where Hashem tells Shmuel, Kum Moshechehu, get up and anoint him. Ki Zehu, this is the one. Zeh Tov Mashiach, this one, David HaMelech, needs anointing because his father Yishai wasn't king. But his son, in theory, would not need to be anointed. We'll see in the end, Shlomo Melech did need to be anointed, but that was because there was a fight. But generally, the child who inherits does not need to be anointed. But a Kohen Gadol is the son of a Kohen Gadol. Even after 10 generations, Ta'un Meshicha, he needs to be anointed. The kulo on all of this anointing oil, Kayim Lasad Lavo, is lasting forever. Hadar Duchsiv, the Pasuk says, Shem Mishkas Kodesh, Yezeli Lidoro Seichem. This will be an anointing oil for me, for your generations. More laws about the anointing. We only anoint a king at a spring where there's flowing water. As it says that David HaMelech said, you're going to seat or ride Shlomo my son on the mule that is mine, bring him down to the Gichon spring. And Tzadok HaKohen and Nasan HaNavi are going to anoint him there as a king over the Jewish people. Why a spring? As a good omen, Shati Mashaykh Malchuso, that his rule should spread. What's the question? Yeah, right. So that the rule will spread. Oh, we'll get to it. So, hey, Moshe Melech ben Melech, along with Nehemach Lokas. So now he said, normally we would not anoint a king who's inheriting the position. The exception is when there's a fight, that there are those who are claiming that they get the position. He doesn't. Then he gets anointed. And now we have examples of this. Why was Shlomo anointed? His father David was king. Because his brother Adoniyo was fighting with him. And Adoniyo was claiming that he should be the king. Why was Yoash, who was the son of King Ahaziah, anointed? Because Ataliah, the woman, was claiming that she was the queen. Why was Yehoachaz, the son of King Yoshiyahu, anointed? Because Yehoyakim, his brother, was 2 years older, and nevertheless, Yehoachaz was king first. Why was Yehu anointed? Because Yoram, the son of Achav, was trying to claim the king. Ask why, what do you mean, Yehu? Why is he anointed in the first place? Doesn't the Pasuk say, to Shmuel, get up and anoint David, this is the one. And as we said, Zeton Mashiach, David needs to be anointed. We learn from this, in Malchus Yisrael, to the Mashiach, the kings of the northern kingdom, from Malchus Yisrael, from the Aseret HaShvatim, they don't need to be anointed. Hell, apparently, Yehoachaz, Yipnei Yehoyakim Achiv, Yehoachaz was anointed because of Yehoyakim, his brother. We said because Yehoyakim was 2 years older. I understand. Yehoachaz and Yehoyakim are sons of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is the one who put away the anointing oil. V'chilo Yoshiyahu gnazo. Hasn't Yoshiyahu already put away the anointing oil? Hadarma would have to answer. Afar Simon Nimshach. It wasn't with the anointing oil. It was with a copy of it. With the Afar Simon oil from the balsam plant of the Galil. He was anointed with the Afar Simon oil. So, if Yehoachaz was anointed with the Afar Simon oil, Yehoram was also anointed with the Afar Simon. Yehu was also anointed with the Afar Simon oil. The Shemana Mishka, the olive oil of Moshe Rabbeinu, that is in fact only for Zed, only for the Malchibis David. Kings are anointed from a container which is in the shape of a horn. Maybe it was made from the horn of an ox. And that's also a sign of honor. An honorable anointment. Shol and Yehu shenipshchu min ha-pach. Shol and Yehu were both anointed with oil from a different type of container, a pach, a jug. Ha'isa malchus and malchus overis. They had a kingdom that didn't last. David and Shlomo shenipshchu min ha-karen. Ha'isa malchus and malchus kayemes. They had a kingdom that lasted. Hey, Moshe Kohanim Malachim, we don't anoint Kohanim to be kings.
Amar Rabbi Yoda Anton Zaraya. Hashem of Pasuk is in the Pasuk. Yes, Hashem Yehuda. The staff of leadership should not leave Judea. Amar Rabbi Bar Adam said from another Pasuk. What does it say afterwards? Kohanim and Levim, they are not the ones who are going to be the kings who have lasting kingdom. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Hu Yochanan, hu Yehoachaz." Yehoachaz, he was also, his name was Yochanan. So I said, how can you say that? But it says about the children of Yoshiyahu. Habachor was Yochanan. Hasheni Yehoyakim. Hashlishi Tzidkiah. Harvi Shalom. So it says the Bechor was Yochanan. And we just said that Yehoachaz was younger than Yehoyakim. What does it mean, Bechor? Answer the Gemara. It means Bechor Lamalchus, who was the first one to be king. But really, he's the younger brother. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said another lesson. Talking about the children of Tzidkiyah, children of Yoshiyahu. Who Shalom, who Tzidkiyah? Shalom and Tzidkiyah are the same person. How can you say that? It says that the third child was Tzidkiyah. The fourth was Shalom. So, no, what it means like this. Shlish l'tolados. Even though he was the third child born, first you had Yehoyakim, and you had Yehoachaz, then you had Tzidkiyah. But Revi l'malchus, he was the fourth to rule, because after Yehoyakim ruled, Yechaniah ruled, the son of Yehoyakim. Then after Yechaniah was exiled, then Tzidkiyahu, his uncle, was ruled. Tzidkiyahu, Shatzidik alav minas adin. He accepted upon himself the attribute of justice. Why was he called Shalom? In his day, the rule of the Davidic dynasty was completed. The word Shalem was completed because he was the last king. He was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar when the temple was destroyed. And the truth is, his name was not even Shalom. Shalom is just what he's called. His real name wasn't even Tzidkiyah. Matanya. His real name is Matanya. That's what the pasuk says. The king of Babel Nebuchadnezzar, when he exiled Yechaniah, made Matanya, the uncle of Yechaniah, Tachtav, in his place. And he gave him a new name of Tzidkiyahu. Right now we're going to learn all about the Aron. An argument. How big was the Aron? Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, the Aron was made with an Amma of 6 Tfachim. Each Tefach is 4 fingers. And the Aron was 6 tfachim, the amos, right? The Aron is 2.5 amos long, 1.5 amma wide, 1.5 amma tall. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's 9 tfachim wide and tall, and 15 tfachim long. Matan of amma shoshisha tfachim. Who is he following when he says that the amma used for the Aron was an amma of 6 tfachim? It's Rabbi Meir, it's the view of Rabbi Meir, it's not because the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Meir says, kol amos v'yubenunios. All the amos of the Beis HaMikdash, of the utensils, and of the building were the middle amma. Because there's a small amma of 5 tfachim, there's a big amma of 6 tfachim and a finger, and the middle amma is 6 tfachim. However, Yehuda disagrees. He says, amma shel binyan, the amos of the building. They say the building, the walls, the mizbeach, shisha. That was an amma of 6 tfachim. Shel kelim, the amma of the utensils, was chamisha, was an amma of 5 tfachim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Aron Amma was an Amma of 5 Tfachim. I'll die to Rabbi Meir based on Rabbi Meir, who says it was an Amma of 6 Tfachim. To Amar, that would be the view. The Aron was made with an Amma of 6 Tfachim. So Orko, Shal Aron, the length of the Aron was 15 Tfachim. Why? Because it says in Masai Machesi Orko. 2.5 Ammas was its length. Each Amma was 6 Tfachim. Amsa Ashita, so 6 Tfachim plus 6 Tfachim. That's two amos. That's 12 amos. 12 tfachim. Upalga amasa. Then you have a half an amma. 3 tfachim plus 3. So it's a total of 15 tfachim of length. Now, we're going to assume that everything was put in the aron. This is according to the view that there was only one aron. As we saw, that was an argument. Let's take the view that there's only one aron. Now, arba luchos hayubo ba'aron. And there are going to be 4 luchos in the aron. Shnaim shleim, the 2 whole luchos, plus the shnaim shvur, and the 2 broken luchos. Because there's only one aron. The pasuk says, put the new luchos, right? Hashem says, I'm going to write my aseres hadibros on the luchos. It says, v'echtovas al haluchos, That's not very much. Are you a luchos rishonim asher shibarta v'samtam ba'aron? I'm going to put onto the second luchos my words that were on the first luchos that you broke and you placed in the aron. That means that the first luchos, the shattered luchos, are also in the aron. So now, haluchos ayikolecha biachon arko shishat fachem v'rachbo shlosha. The luchos were 6 tfachim long and 3 tfachim wide. Now, saying arkon shal luchos l'arkon shal aron. So put the width of these luchos to the length of the aron. Put the width. Now the width, as we said, is 3 tfachim. That's the change of the girsa. So 3 times 4 is 12. That is 12 tfachim. We said there are 15 tfachim in the length. Now you have 3 tfachim. Now turn it to tesayin amid beis. According to this view, the walls of each wall of the aron was itself half a tefach. So now you have 3 tefachim left. So half a tefach is one wall, half a tefach is the other wall. So you left down with 2 tefachim. So now you have 2 tefachim left. 12 tefachim are filled with luchos. 1 tefach is filled with wall. 2 tefachim left. The Sefer Torah, that's for the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, that was also in the Aron. That's the length of the Aron, 15 tefachim. Rach Boshel Aron, the width of the Aron. If you say that each Amma was 6 tefachim, it's 9 tefachim, it's 9 tefachim. It says, Amma v'chetzi rachbo, the width was an Amma and a half. Am sashit an Amma 6 tefachim, palgus Amma tlasa. Half an Amma is 3 tefachim. Now, Arba Luchos Oyebo, again, as we've learned, there were 4 Luchos in the Aron, plus the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shnaim Shleim, Shnaim Shvur. 2 whole luchos and 2 broken luchos. It says, "Shashibarta v'samtam aron." The luchos that you broke and you put in the aron. Haluchos yikolecha ve'achad arkan shisha tefachim v'rachman shlosha. The luchos, they're 6 tefachim long, but they're 3 tefachim wide. We've already accounted for the width, so now we're going to account for the length. So tain arkan shaluchos l'rochba shal aron. So now put the length of the luchos, the 6 tefachim, to the width, to the 7.5, to the 9 tefachim of width. Now you have another 3 tefachim left. So now half a tefach is a wall on this side, half a tefach is a wall on that side. So now you left the 2 tefachim. So now utfachayim, you left the 2 tefachim. Those 2 tefachim were empty space. Why? You needed that empty space. In order to rule over the spot where the Sefer Torah is placed. Be able to put your hands in to be able to get to the Torah. Take it out, take it in. Oh. That, I guess, wasn't in the Aron. Maybe that was in the container, that was on a shelf behind the Aron. Rav Shimon Lakish said, Amo bas chamisha tefachim ayo Aron asui. The Aron was made of Amos of 5 tefachim. So, man, Tana b'Amo bas chamisha tefachim, who's he following? He's following Yehuda, as we learned. It's not Tina Tamar, we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yudom Yuda says, Amas HaBinyan, the Amma of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, was Shisha Tvachim, was 6 Tvachim. Shalak Helim, the Amma of the utensils, was Chamisha Tvachim. Vayin Aron, the Aron is a Kli, it's a vessel. How that Rabbi Yudom contribute Yehuda to Amar, who said, Amma Shal Chamisha Tvachim, that there was an Amma 5 Tvachim. Haya Orko Asu, Yishnei Masar Tvachim, Mechzos. The length, which is 2.5 Tvachim, 2.5 Amos, is 12.5 Tvachim. Difficult, because it says, Amma Sayim Mechazi Orko, Amma Sal Chamisha, Amma Sal Chamisha. So one amma is 5 tefachim, next amma is another 5 tefachim, palgus amma is a trey palgus, and half an amma is another 2.5. Arba luchos ayibo, there were 4 luchos, shnayim shleimim, 2 luchos that are whole, shnayim shumim, and 2 luchos that are broken. The tzev, because it says, and Hashem says, v'echtov al luchos ad v'rim ashar yu luchos al rishon im asher shibarta, v'sam tam ba'aron. The luchos that you broke and you place in the aron. V'al luchos ayikolecha b'yachad arkan, shisha tefachim. The luchos, each one were 6 tefachim. And their width was 6 tefachim. Tein arkan shaluchos l'arko shal aron. Place the width. Tein rachban. Take the width of the luchos to the length of the aron. So the length, if you put the width, right? The width we said was 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim times 4 is 12. So put that 12 to the length. Now you only left with half a tefach. So you don't have room for a Sefer Torah with half a tefach. So according to this view, the Sefer Torah was not in the Aron. The Sefer Torah would have been in a shelf outside of the Aron. And in the Aron you only had the 4 luchos.
I also only have half a tefach left of space. So this view would not say that the walls were themselves half a tefach in each wall. You only have a tefach left. So you have to say that the wall itself was half of a half a tefach. Yishtayr shem chati tefach, you're left with half a tefach. Etzbo lekosam ikan, one finger is for the wall here. Etzbo lekosam ikan, one finger is for the wall on the other side. Now, rochvo shel aron, the width of the aron, according to this view, shiva tefach mo'mach, so 7.5 tefachim. Because it says Amos Lechetzi Rachbo, we're saying in Amos Hamisha, and Amos 5 Tvachim, Pagos Amos half, and Amos 3, Pagos 2.5. And we know there are Beluchos, Tayubo, there are four Luchos in the Aron. Shnaim Shleim, Shnaim Shvurim, Dichsev, Asher Shibarta, Vesamdom, Aron. The two whole ones plus the two broken ones are all in the Aron. Right? Well, there's no Sefer Torah in the Aron according to this. Haluchos, Ayukalechad, Viechad, Arkan, Shishan, Tvachim, Rachman, Shishan, Tvachim. The luchos, we said, were 6 tefachim long, but 3 tefachim wide. We said, v'rachpan shlosha tefachim, the width is 3 tefachim. We already said that the width, right, the 4 times their width, that's the whole length of the aron. So, tein arka, now put their length. L'rachpo shel aron, to the width of the aron. The width is 7.5, the length is 6. Mishtayr shel tefachim ech, so you're left with another tefach and a half. So, etzbo lekosam ikan, the half is the finger for the one wall and the finger for the other wall. Now we're left with a full tefach. So according to this, chazi tefach mikan l'shilut. Half of the tefach was on one side of the luchos and half of the tefach was on the other side of the luchos to be able to have airspace, to be able to rule over it, to bring it in and to put it out, to take the luchos out of the aron and put them back into the aron. It's an asa betzalas aron. How did betzala make the aron? Reb Chanina Amar, Shalosh Tevas Osor, he made 3 boxes. Shtayim Shel Zav, 2 are of gold, V'achas Shel Eitz, 1 over wood. Nasan Shel Zav, B'soch Shel Eitz. He put the golden box into the wooden box, and then Shel Eitz, B'soch Shel Zav, and then the wooden box into a golden box. So that, in that way, you had gold, and in between it, wood. V'tzipa, and he covered that top with some more gold. Yichsev, that's what the pasuk says. But tzipi so zav tor mi bayis umichutz. You should surround it with pure gold, on the inside and on the outside. Matam alamet tzav penu. Why does it say you should cover it? Avisvasu elyona, to include the top tip, it has to be covered. Rishur min Lakish, Amr Shlakish said, teva achas aso. He made only one box of wood. Yitzipo and covered it with gold. Yichsev, it says. It's a piece of so of tar. You should cover it with pure gold, mibayis mechutz on the inside and from the outside. Matam alamet tzapenu. Why does it also say you should cover it? Amrei Pinchas, v'havi bein neser l'neser, that you have to cover each board. It's not enough just to cover the outside. You also have to cover on the inside. You have to fully cover the wood. So I see here that the commentaries say, the Rosh Shulio, he said that maybe there's a hint. The Aron is a symbol of a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham has to be Tocho Kibaro. The same way on the outside he looks good. He knows Torah. He dresses like a Talmud Chacham. His inside has to be good too. He has to be good on the inside too. He has to be gold on the inside also. Ketzer Yaluchos Ksuvim. How were the Luchos written? What was written on the Luchos? Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Chamisha Luach Zeh, V'Chamisha Luach Zeh. 5 commandments on one tablet and 5 on the other tablet. Hado Dechtiv, as it says, V'yichtivim al Shnei Luchos Avanim. So they were equal. Chamisha Luach Zeh, V'Chamisha Luach Zeh. 5 on this tablet and 5 on this tablet. Rabbanan Amit, Rabbanan say no. Asara Luach Zeh, Asara Luach Zeh. All 10 commandments on one tablet and then the full 10 commandments on the next tablet. That's what the verse means to say. The Aseret HaDvarim were written on both luchos. Asara luach zeh, 10 on this tablet. Asara luach zeh, 10 on this tablet. Reb Shimon Yochai Omer, Esrim aluach zeh, ve'esrim aluach zeh. 20 on this tablet, and 20 on this tablet. Because they were written twice. Because it says, v'yichtivim al shnei luchos avanim. He wrote them, that's in the plural tense. He wrote twice the 10 commandments on each tablet. Esrim aluach zeh, v'esrim aluach zeh. And Reb Simai said,
Arbaim aluach zev, arbaim aluach zev. 40 commandments on this tablet and 40 on this one. Because it says, luchos ksuv mishnei avrehem mizeh mizeh ksuvim. From this side and from this side they are written. So once we say that there are 20, once it says mizeh mizeh, it means that there are actually 40. And they were kitatroga. They're written on all four sides, like a square. Here on this side and on the other side. This side on that side. On all sides, you had the commandments written, inscribed, and inscribed, and inscribed. Okay, Bezrat Hashem will continue at this point tomorrow.